last time, pretty much. I was talking about the Antichrist. Remember that? About the Antichrist? Okay, so I told you I'd let you know how I think God it is, right, you know? Well, a couple more. I just wanted to tell you this. Just a recap here, remember? Antichrist, someone that's kind of loved by everyone today, most likely alive, maybe the same age Jesus Christ, pro-Mark. Something interesting added to that, if I tell you who I think it is, this guy here healed 1,000 people with eyesight recently. He did one by paying money and having their sights restored. But he did do that with his pocketbook. That's, I mean, so like, kind of like things, you know? And you know what his name is? I said, MB, you know what his name is? Mr. Beast. You know who Mr. Beast is? Anyone know? He's a guy on YouTube. He's a young lad that literally, interesting, that got his name Mr. Beast at 12 years old. Interesting, like Jesus Christ walked the temple 12 years old, and he was playing a game, and they assigned him a name, Mr. Beast 6000. The computer assigns you a name. I'm just telling you, some coincidences here, you know. And so he dumped the 6000s called Mr. Beast. And hey, I'm just telling you, you know, young lad like that, well-liked, I guess, apparently in his own town, they think he's almost a god. Because he apparently opens up a restaurant and says free food, and people show up, and there's so much, and as he's serving food, he's showing them laptops and cell phones and computers and everything, because I understand he makes $50 million a month. Now, that's pretty good to make $50 million a month. That's obviously not normal. I mean, makes more in a day than he'll make in a lifetime, you know? So obviously, he's spending it. And interesting, some interesting thoughts here. He one of his best friends just came into became a tranny. I don't know if you all know that. Became a tranny. And he's kind of, because of his, he kind of just removed him from the show, but it's kind of pro, kind of tranny there a little bit, you know, kind of interesting, you know. You know, doesn't say anything about that. And so you think, well, what does that have to do? What's the scripture behind that? His dad, nothing about him. So could he be from Syria? Not real yet. His mom is there. They're from, I think, North South Carolina, Bible Belt. He has a very big influence in scripture, like a lot of, look at everybody in communism. They all went to Catholic school, something like that, right, you know? So he has a Christianity background, but his dad is very mystery. Maybe his dad will come out. I'm from Syria. I don't know. Just thought, I'll throw it out to you. Something to think about. His name is Mr. Beast. I don't know what his real name is. They call him Mr. Beast. Oh, kind of quinky thing. I'm just telling you, hey, in plain sight, we got Trump in the Bible and Mr. Beast. I'm throwing it out to give you something to think about here, you know? I mean, I'm just looking around, what's going on? I'm not saying, thus say the Lord, telling Paul, I'm not going to stand on the street corner, go to his house, point my finger. I just throwing it out there. So, you know, do it. It's just whiz, kind of fun thing to talk about. But you know what? Maybe talk about some of that. I mean, I don't follow him at all, whatever, but apparently he's got, I think, 750 million subscribers. Now, there's 6 million people in the world. That means one out of 6 people are subscribing to him. I'm not subscribed to him, but I know who he is. You know, so that's a lot of people. Apparently, in other countries, he's honored in 100 countries. He apparently goes around and goes to Africa and digs wells where the own government is not digging their wells, and he's getting water. Hey, so I was doing a lot of good things. Think about that. So, just thought I'd throw it out to you. Antichrist, I don't know. Just, pardon me? His name is what? All right, well, they call him Mr. Beast. MB. So, amen. The good thing you got a phone today. Would a phone find anything out, whatever, you know? Amen. Maybe. Okay. All righty. Well, we're going to continue on. I started last week in the study about prayer, and kind of want to tie some things together. That kind of I'm big on application, as you probably know, because what good is having all the head knowledge? You know, here's your head knowledge; it becomes your heart, and then from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it, and you do right. You know, that's kind of what the Bible wants you to do: application. And so we're looking at some prayers in the Old and New Testament. Look at how they're a little different, and look at how some common denominations can help you and looking at these things to see how the Lord's answered these prayers, looked at these people, some humbleness and things that will help you grow in your Christian walk. And I think we did intercession last week. Did we do praise and worship? Do you remember? Where would we leave off? Praise and worship, or repentance and forgiveness. You remember? Anyone remember? Okay. We did we cover that or no? Oh man, you know what though? Well, usually I mark down. Hey, when you get old, it's all downhill. They're saying, hey, Rick, they're saying, no, wait, Rick. I mean, some people don't know here. It's all downhill after 50, 55, right? Amen? Matter of fact.
Well, we did intercession.
Where? Okay, well, I thought so. Praise and worship. Okay, we're going to begin right here. I had a calendar, was in my head when I was growing up in my business, and I now have to write things. I don't write things down, forget it. So it's an amazing thing how your mind is called entropy, I guess. So, praise and worship. Let's look at Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to try to fly through things. We're never going to get out of here because I won't be here. Next week here. Okay, praise and worship here. Something that's very important, a lost art today. And it's interesting about, again, the Old Testament and New Testament. God is working differently, as you know. That's why it's important to rightly divide. Remember, in the Old Testament, if you prayed and you had resources, had children, if you did what's right, God was almost obligated to kind of give you physical blessing. That's just the way it is. You understand? It was a physical thing. Today, we have spiritual things, you know. So, but it's an important way to look at how God moves through that. And in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 to 18, we read this story here about Moses coming out of and is leading people out of the kind of the promised land. It says in verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. You know what's interesting about that? That was back in the day, you look at Egypt, their horse and rider was their strength. Today we call our F-14 fighters, whatever you have or whatever, but that was their deal. Hey, you had a horse charging at you. Can you imagine a chariot with spikes on it and a guy with a spear? You're probably going to lose if you're on the ground there. You know what I'm saying? How are you going to deal with that thing coming at you, man? You know what I mean? So that was their, you know, their key. Let's get a bunch of horses and riders and we're going to plow people down. You know, that's just what it's like military. The bigger the guns, you know what peace is about? Who can kill most people? If I can kill more people, then I'll have peace. That's kind of way it works in the UN. I mean, figure that out, whatever. But very important. That was mentioned here. Hath thrown into the sea. God did all that. I mean, you can think we have more nuclear weapons than Russia. God don't care about that stuff, man. God can just do anything he wants to do, whatever. You know what I mean? Sometimes we're afraid of those things. Oh, North Korea, they got all these nuclear weapons. The Lord's in charge of all that stuff. I just want to make a point. God records these things. And look at what they're praising is about, things that they didn't really worry about. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation of my father's God, and I will exalt him. There they are. You know what they are? They're at a mountaintop experience. Hey, you know what though? It's good having a mountaintop experience in the Lord. Amen? You know, maybe someone you've been praying for got saved, or the Lord's answering a prayer, or, you know, you have kids and everything, and just they're healthy, and, you know, and the Lord's moving through things, you know, and hey, it's good to have that. It's good to have that. Don't forget about that. You know, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Well, obviously, you know what? In the Old Testament, obviously God fought for Israel through Old Testament. Hey, now we're in a spiritual warfare. Amen? I mean, we're not fighting with physical swords today. I mean, we're in a spiritual army. So you can see how here God was dealing with a physical kingdom, physical war, physical. Now we're in a spiritual thing. So I'll cover it a little bit here, but there it is. He's a man of war. Now we battle spiritually. We have the warfare. We say, I'm the sword of spirit and the word of God and preparation of faith, the gospel. It's a spiritual thing today, you know? We were out in, over there at Indianapolis. Some of these people wanted to kind of get in our face a little bit, you know. I mean, Johnny over here, you know, I kind of was watching him, you know, and I kind of came by with you. I just want to make sure everything's cool here, you know. But I just prayed for him. I didn't physically, you know, I was ready to step in, but, you know, you pray about things. God's moving and all that stuff. Pharaoh's chariots, 30, I mentioned again, and his hosts hath he cast into the sea. His chosen camps also are drowned in the Red Sea. There it is. God's moving, fighting. They're praising the Lord. Here it is in verse 7. And the greatness of thine excellency, thou had overthrown them and rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed as stubble. Nothing better sometimes than seeing your enemies there get crashed. That's kind of what happened. Hey, the Lord did it, you know? I mean, the Lord saw, I mean, I'll tell you something. If you wanted to be someplace and look back at history, if you can go back, watching that sea come above. And, I mean, think about that. And we read that, but I hope the Lord will be able to kind of, if you can watch videos of old stuff, I'm sure you'll be able to watch it again where the seas just part up and are straight up. With his nostril, it says that later on here, and they walk across dry ground. It wasn't muddy or wet or thing here. I mean, seeing the army of Egypt is being that'd be pretty awesome to see that. Would you agree? I have to admit. I mean, you read it, you know, a lot of times. What about reading things compared to watching a movie? Because your mind is the best way of seeing things. Your mind may differ from my mind, and you're picturing these word pictures in your mind, and that's what God wants you to do. Think about that. As you know God more and better, your mind gets clearer. You get a clearer picture of the Lord on all that. So that's here in verse 8. And with the blast of his nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as the heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Now, is that just saying, or, you know, obviously some kind of wind came by there. The Lord just stuffed his little nostril. There it was compared to the Lord. That's pretty interesting. I mean, who could fight against that? You know what, though? Remember now, this was told throughout the lands. If you read later on, oh, Israel, God's fighting for these Israelites. They're coming through. They were scared. Amen? You know, that's the fear of the Lord, you know, that people put hearts. They're coming through. Man, we're surrendered. The fear of the Lord is good for us as believers in a spiritual time here. You want to fear the Lord. You know, I should watch that. No. Hey, watch what you're doing there. The Lord's watching you. You know? Who could stand against this? Nothing. Look at verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lush shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword and shall destroy them. That is pride. Enemy had pride. Amen? I mean, I don't know about that, but it said earlier they had a pillar of fire come before there. They just watch all these plagues going on. I don't know about you, but, man, I wouldn't be chasing those guys. Hey, I mean, I just watched 10 plagues going on, firstborn dying, cattle, blindness, boils, ticks, darkness, blood. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, it's like in the New Testament, one, he says, I am he, and he blew back and all fell backwards, and he put the ear back. Man, I don't know about you, I'd be bailing, man. I would no way want to be, to me, you know, I'm not a fighter. I mean, you know, I mean, I got my little guns there at home and everything, and someone comes over, you know, I mean, I take them out, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I may be tough, but I don't want to fight some guy, whatever, you know, I mean, I'm going to go easy, you know what I'm saying? But here, that picture of pride, the enemy. Prideful. We're going to take these people down. Take them down. Oh, yeah? Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Small g's, you're saying. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? One true God. There's that one true God. Verse 13. Thou in thy mercy. There's a mercy thing there. Hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in the strength unto the holy habitation. So they see the Lord's mercy in all that. These people were, still sinners, but God is still seeing them being a chosen nation. So there's some praise and worship going on there. And so in our lives, spiritually, when we have things like that happen, we ought to remember that and have praise and understand those things. And if you look at Luke here, so we transition here in Luke chapter 1. Go back to Luke chapter 1. Just trying to get to showing you how important to understand some of these things are. We kind of forget about it. In Luke chapter 1, in verse 46, here we have Mary. When the angels visited her and told her she was going to have a baby, without a man. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." I don't know. Imagine that, having someone just showing up and telling you that there. That's pretty. You know what's interesting? It says she pondered those things in her heart, because no one believed it. Who would believe? When I was about 12 years old, my buddy Willie, you guys know Willie, he's been here before, I drove his little motorcycle. He gave me his bike to ride, and I knew about my motorcycle as a little 12-year-old punk kid. I think about one gear down, three up, gas. Here's a gas and a brake. I was just a punk kid. He was taking it for a spin. We went to the trails, and I'm learning how to drive it. When you learn how to drive it, here's a gas. I'm out of control. I'm headed down this hill with a giant thing of rocks that were about 40 feet across, and I just didn't know where to stop. I didn't know where to, how to stop with brakes. I closed my eyes and said, "Jesus, I lost guy probably." And I opened my eyes. I was across the ravine over there, and the Lord miraculously preserved me. And I had to go all the way around back to Willie, and he asked me how I got there. I didn't even tell him. I didn't tell the story for years. And why? I pondered it in my heart. I knew the Lord is a miracle to me back then. I was 12 years old. But I never told anyone, because I said, who's going to believe it? So it was me and the Lord. I think the Lord just preserved me. And then finally got saved. I tell the story now because I know what he did. He preserved, maybe it happened to you. The Lord miraculously preserved you some way. But I pondered it in my heart, because why tell someone that? They ain't going to believe it. Well, that kind of happened to Mary here. Obviously, she was visited. There was something that happened. She's pounding it in her heart. And it says here, and that's good. I mean, the Lord's dealing with you. I mean, you know what, though? I'm glad the Lord's dealing with you on some things. The worst thing for a believer is to have the Lord leave you alone. You're just neutral. That's a bad spot to be. I mean, where's the Lord and everything? That's a boring life for the believer. Amen? For my spirit had rejoiced in God, my Savior. Amen? So obviously, for the Catholics, I showed them that verse. Mary needed a Savior. Amen? For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. Now the Catholics take it out of context. But here's a lady that she didn't come through the king's lineage, so to speak. I mean, physical king. Here they were. They had to bring a turtle dove for their offering. So they obviously were people not of means. There's 50. And the mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. She understood the fear of the Lord and how reverence this was. He had showed strength with his arm. He had scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. Ain't that something? There's another spot in Job 2. God knows the imaginations of your thought. Ain't that scary? Think about that. Think of me sitting around there thinking a thing that no one else thinking of. In fact, I think Vance Havner said this one time. He was a key for sayings. If the person next to you knew what you were thinking, they'd probably move. You know what I mean? Think about that. That's sometimes our mind goes. I mean, because we're thinking things that, what's that? I mean, God knows the imagination. So obviously, she understands that thing here. God knows the imaginations of the heart. So here's just some praise that Mary's given, because she's chosen vessel of the Lord, that she didn't have a baby without a man, and how miraculous that was. And now looking to Paul here, Paul gives us direction who we are in Christ and our walk. Now God was doing physical things with a big group of individuals here in the Old Testament example I gave you there, with Moses getting let out of Egypt. Here's God dealing with individual person right here, one-on-one. And now here we are in New Testament with Paul. And it says in Ephesians 1:2, about us being in the Lord in our walk, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. No matter where you are, you live in, you know, North Korea, or you live in China, or live in America, where this means, you know, if you trust the Lord, there's joy should always be there. That should be your foundation, knowing, hey, I'm trusting the Lord, I'm saved, and I'm saved from hell. Amen? What does it say from hell? What a deal that is. I mean, what happens? You're not going to hell. To know that your sins have been forgiven. We were giving our tracts yesterday, me and Gene and another friend in Sugar Grove. And a lot of times I have signs. It's nice to have believers come to me. You know, hey, brother, you know. I mean, we have a foundation, you know. You know, it is instant fellowship, amen, you know. And I save. I check them out a little bit. Oh, yeah, I got saved. They give me a date and time. I go, isn't it grace to know the Lord going to heaven? I mean, that's a foundation. Whether they may be a little charismatic or they have a modern Bible, whatever it is, I didn't get into that thing. But you have that foundation of the Lord. No, you're saved. You can regret a lot of things in life, but you're never going to regret that you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saying, amen. How can you? What a foundation. That's what kind of Paul's getting to here. It says in Ephesians 1:14, a couple verses there, it says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know what, though? We're going to only got our salvation two-thirds down. I mean, we're saved. Yet that the other third is our glorification of our body. Ain't that a cool deal? I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I've lived young. I'm slowing down. I got to get my. It's nice to have the glorified body. Sign me up for that. Amen. Just sign me up. So there's that we're you're saved. There's an earnest, but ain't over yet. The best is yet to come. Amen. I like dessert. You like dessert? Well, dessert's coming. Amen. So this is what should be in our hearts here. Understand what the Lord did. Preserved Israel, worked individual, now he's dealing with us. We live in the greatest time, really, ever we can live in here. Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, into the glory and praise of God. And he names them later, brethren, whichever things are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, whatsoever a good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think of these things. There are seven things he gives you that will gym up your praise. That's that walk there. I mean, you know, there's fruits of the Spirit. There's a lot of things. There are some things that are drum up some praise. Nothing worse than a sourpuss Christian. You know what, though? Something's going on from inside. I know we have ups and downs. I get all that, you know? Hey, when you got the flu, you're not feeling well, and all that, man, you know, I get all that, you know? But you know what, though? There should be a time where you understand and get the big picture. So here's the Lord showing praise and worship in our prayer and understanding these things and where we came from. Reading the Bible in the Old Testament tells you what God did for his people. I understand in Romans, he kind of put them away, the blindness of Israel. We're dealing with Gentiles today. That's us. Amen. But you know what, though? All that and is just understanding that and revealed to you through the scriptures, that just ought to get you on fire. Amen. Now, repentance, I want to go through this a little bit. That's praise and worship. Just looking at a broad picture of that. Past, physical, present, spiritual, and then it'll be physical again. If you look at rightly dividing the word, there's going to be another physical thing going on here in tribulation, right? And then you got the millennial reign. So you can see where we're at right here. And are understanding that? The real blessings we have in our age, our age of grace. It's a great deal. I'm glad I'm not back over here. I mean, the Lord put me there. I'm born here. You know, one thing you can't change is where you were born. You have no choice in the matter. You're a man or a woman. I know they want to change all that. Where you're born, your parents, that's all the Lord had all that. Amen? So what it is, it what God put you right there. I'm glad he put me in India. in a hot land where, in Calcutta, where there's sewers running through the streets and everything, and they're worshiping. I'm glad I went though. I appreciate that. I hope you all do understand that too. Now, shifting a little bit here to repentance and forgiveness. Now, I'll kind of fly through this a little bit. Old Testament. David's Psalm 51. That's a great psalm. That's, you know, Dave, you know, although what happened, David, I mean, you know, why beat him up a little bit, you know? Obviously, he had some troubles. But interesting is, that's kind of some pictures, you know, why? Shows you a man that had been through a lot with Saul, high in the woods, becomes king, and then here he is, he has some troubles. I mean, and you know what's interesting about that? I've had some troubles myself. Maybe you have too. And some troubles come sometimes, you're focused on the flesh. Well, obviously, David was focused on the flesh. I mean, boy, you know, that girl shouldn't have done that. Got her pregnant, shouldn't have done that there. Got to get her husband. I mean, can you imagine? He's walking in the flesh. You got to, I understand the Holy Spirit want in us like today. But you know what, though? The Lord used prophets and used Naaman back then. He used Naaman back then, right? And what happened is, it says right here, Naaman came and said, "Thou art the man," right? And pointed out, kind of like what happens to us. God uses his word today. He uses the Holy Spirit. And he uses preaching sometimes. Or sermon. To point something about it. Hey, how about that? That's why you want to be callous to those things. That's why, you know, if you don't read the Bible, because you're not walking with the Lord. And they, oh man, I can't do that. That's why it's important to spend time in the word. God's dealing with you. So now, back then they had prophets. It says here in verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of my tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." You know, obviously, they're under the law back then, and one thing Nathan told David was that he knew that murder and adultery, there is no sacrifice for that back in the Old Testament. You know that. You generally were killed. And he says, you're not going to die. First thing he says is, hey, you're found out, but you're not going to die. Whew. I mean, that's kind of nice knowing that. Obviously, he had a lot of trouble in the family. Amen. He paid for it. Amen. But the first thing he says, you're not going to die. But he knew under the law that would mean death. It says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is forever before me." You know what, though? If you had troubles in your life, something that maybe you've done, you know what, though? It's caught up with you. I guarantee it. It's come back. I mean, Lord may have forgiven you. He may have forgiven you, but sometimes it'll put its head up there. That's just the way it is. That's what happens. You do reap what you sow. Amen, you know? And if you sow some bad thing, you know what happens? You know, it will follow you. It may be a week later, a month later. It could be a long time. When I got saved, there are things that follow me. And so here I am, get saved. I turn around, and here is coming all the things all the years I've been reading. And it didn't go away. I had to deal with some of the stuff. Some of the stuff was pretty easy, but some stuff took a long time to deal with. Some stuff still pops in my mind. I know what I'm saying. From years later, I'm praying, hey, blood of Christ. Because you know why? That happens. And we're under the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord, under grace. We can bring it to the Lord. Amen, amen. But you know what, though? You understand how, you know, David had some of those same things going on there. It shows you that these people weren't special. These are regular people that have the same problems you and I have. How do they deal with them? God reveals to them, hey, look what they did. So, and what Patrick says, learn from people that are successful and people that make mistakes. Learn from their mistakes, not your mistakes. Amen? That's the best thing to do. Learn from other people's mistakes. And I've done some good things based on, these people are way smarter than me, and I'm going to follow them. They're way smarter than me. Amen. So that's how could I look. People that were smart and knew some things, I'm going to hang out with them. And people that don't do some things, I hang out with them. That's pretty obvious. Amen. Even though some of the things that aren't good seem real nice at time and tempting, but no way. What I like about this here, Psalm 51, that's good for everybody. David did some self-examination. You know what I'm saying? Remember I said this before? The worst person out there is that stinking person in the mirror right there. That stinking person in the mirror. 90, 8.75% of your problems are that. The rest are your wife. If they're 2%, whatever, you know. You know, but yeah, you get it. It's that person in the mirror causes most of the problems. And here it is, says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall, it says here, behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and my sin, my mother conceived me. It says here, purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness with bones which thou hast broken, may rejoice. Ah, about that. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. God, he was very humble. God likes that. God likes that we just tell the Lord what it is. I don't know about your Christian world, but I've grown by the Lord. I mess up there. Shame on me. Just tell him. He knows it anyways, right? And you know what, though? The Lord likes that. That's why God records it here with repentance, forgiveness. It starts right here. If that person there would get right, you know, we're always pointing someone else, right? Well, when you point a finger, it happens. Three point back at you, and one goes to the answer. A lot of times right here. You get that? You know, it's okay to rebuke someone. The Bible says reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. So two-thirds of Bible is correction and all that, you know. Okay, oh boy, I'm getting out of time here. So I'm just going to stop right here because people are coming in. So I'm going to stop right here. I knew there's no way I'm going to get through this thing in 2 weeks. But I got two more weeks here in August. There's some good stuff coming up here, seriously. I think I found some good stuff here. Hopefully you'll grow. And we'll get on some things here down the road I found that I thought were pretty good. So we'll continue right here. Father in heaven, thank you very much for just an opportunity to open up your word and look at these things that you put here in the pages of Scripture to help us out to grow closer to you and to look at these folks you've dealt with in a good way and bad way and reveal our walk and be real close with you and joyful, Father. So we just pray, Lord, that we be able to put these things in our heart. If someone's here and needs some help, Lord, may you reveal to them some of these things, Father. Thank you for our time this morning. I pray for Pastor Hoffman as they get here, and pray the Lord will hear some good. Give us what we need to hear, Lord, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.